my friends, and welcome to this week's show. I have the privilege of speaking with Dr. Maria Manzanares. Dr. Manzanares is the founder and medical director of Dharmagaya Integrative Medicine and Online Wellness. She began her career as an assistant professor of radiology at the University of Miami, became a certified yoga instructor and meditation teacher, did a two-year fellowship with Dr. Weil at the University of Arizona, and is also a classmate of mine, and is now practicing family and integrative medicine in Florida. So Dr. Manzanares, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's dive right in. I'd appreciate it if you'd share your story with us about our topic today on the importance of fine-tuning the mind to achieve and maintain change and how it impacted you or a friend or maybe one of your patients' lives.
Yeah, I have very close friends and relatives who have been diagnosed with cancer. And one of them had a breast cancer that had already spread to her lymph nodes. Another friend was a pancreatic cancer. So there's two examples I love to share because they're very, very awesome stories. They told him that he only had a few months left to live. My friend with the pancreatic cancer was told he will never run again. And that was almost 9 years ago.
Wow.
And since then, this guy has participated in at least 12 marathons.
Jeez, that's impressive.
Yeah. And I remember him telling me, when he tells the story, it's great. He says, when he left the doctor's office, he said, okay, I had two options. I can totally believe in what I was told, or I could believe in what I wanted at that moment and what I liked. And boy, this guy loves to run so much and to challenge himself so much that it became like a challenge for him to prove that he could do it, regardless of that physical condition that, was given to him at that moment.
I love that. What he believes, not what he was told, but what he likes to believe.
Right. What I want. What do I want? So we'll go back to that. My friend with the breast cancer was told she had 6 months. That was 10 years ago. She said, I have two daughters and I'm seeing them getting married and I'm meeting my grandkids. And this is it. You would know, of course, about the prognosis of this disease, especially the pancreatic cancer. I mean, when they tell people you have 6 months, 3 months, it's because they feel like, okay, there's no more options here. So what did they share? How did they defy all the odds and all this medical prognosis and diagnosis? And I think it was mainly by refusing to take what was told to them as it was written in stone. And having like a deep conviction, like, I made a decision about, like you said, what I want and how is it I want to live my life? Who do I want to be or where am I going to be? I know that it might sound a little silly or far out, but I think this makes me think about the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. The placebo effect, right?
Sure. Tell us more.
Well, according to Google... Because I love Google and stuff.
Dr. Google, right?
Yeah. The definition of placebo effect on Google is a beneficial effect produced by a placebo drug or treatment, which cannot be attributed to the properties of the placebo itself and must therefore be due to the patient's belief in that treatment. Mm-hmm. And there's a little underlined text in there that says, other than those doctors dismiss the positive results as a result of the placebo effect. Huh. Very interesting, right?
Fascinating.
So for us who have done scientific research, we know that some people from the group of people that were given just the sugar pills got better, right?
Right.
How is that possible? Of course, that's the placebo effect. We human beings, we're powerful. We really can train our minds the same way we train to run a marathon or to play an instrument. And I like to tell my patients, we constantly upgrade our phones, upgrade our softwares, upgrade the computer, but we need to upgrade our own operating system.
That's a neat way of thinking of it.
Right? It's very easy to understand. Yeah.
We need to upgrade ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about your journey.
I started as a radiologist. And I realized that while I was there and I had a great job and I was an assistant professor of radiology at the University of Miami. And I was at the breast division. And I was diagnosing several patients with cancer every day and going through that life-changing experience with these amazing people and their families. I realized that that deep motivation that led me to study medicine in the first place was somehow unfulfilled. I saw so many people that were diagnosed and going through the treatment and then coming back for a mammo every 6 months. And most of them were full of fear of getting their mammo results. Sometimes you find things in the other breast. Sometimes, you know, people come back. Well, sometimes they won't come back. So one day, I remember I stood on my balcony and I was looking at the ocean and I asked myself why I was feeling so unfulfilled, you know?
Sure.
And one of the reasons why I was feeling like that is was because I was just diagnosing. So I didn't feel like I could do something more for these people. And I love radiology. Oh my God, I love it. And offers so many tools to diagnose and treat right now. But I was ready to offer something more. To offer something more, to take a human being as a whole, which is not just the picture and tell you this is the diagnosis and then you go on with your life and see how it goes there. I know deep inside that I could offer something to allow these people to connect with themselves and somehow go back to wellness or even better, to prevent going there in the first place. So there's many things that we can do to prevent things before they actually show up. So I left. I left my position at the UM. I broke up with my boyfriend and I decided to go and travel for a while. Yeah. And I fell in love with life again and with myself again. And I found so many wonderful things that I train in. I also found my soulmate and I started learning all this alternative. Which I don't like to call alternative because I think they're just part of the same whole. It's just it's going to a different side of the gray scale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as a radiologist, definitely understand that gray scale.
Exactly, exactly. So I certified as a yoga teacher, and I found my soulmate, and I moved to France.
Wow.
So in France, yeah. I told myself, you know, if I ever go back to the States, it would be just for visiting. And I moved to France, and there I studied the psychological origins of disease and learned some advanced therapies for pain management. And of course, as a skeptical scientist, because I've always been a scientist, you know, in my mind. And I love that part of my mind. I started doing some energy healing, and I was like, how does thing work? And it was amazing. I certified as a Reiki master, but I also did something that in France is very popular. So being a yoga teacher, I learned about the benefits and the medical application of the combination of what happens when you're in a yoga practice, which is the movement, the breath. And this is something that is applicable to anyone, because regardless of the fitness level or age or your creed or your flexibility, you can always stretch and you can always breathe. And that takes me to my fellowship in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona, which was like the icing on the cake. And I love that it's like a healing-oriented medicine and approaches the human as a whole, and really, really came in total alignment with my deep calling as a doctor. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Wow, what a wonderful journey. So you took a break after doing radiology. You kind of hit a wall and decided you were just going to take a break, move to France, break up with your boyfriend, and yeah, and re-energize, relearn, and completely reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of guts to do something like that. So do you recommend that to your patients?
Oh, my God. I tell my patients all the time, we have this fear of the unknown, and sometimes we're not feeling fulfilled, and we feel like we want something else, but we prevent ourselves from meeting our greatness, for reaching out and get our dreams out there and think big. And I think the most important thing is to listen to that inner voice and see exactly how you feel. Is there something that is not right? You'll know it. And go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, share something that we don't know about your area of expertise that as patients we probably should.
I'm really excited about sharing this. I told you, I did the yoga training and I did a little bit of meditation. At the beginning, I was just for the stretching exercises. I was not too much into the whole thing about sitting there was kind of weird, and the incense and the whole thing is like, no, I'm not going to become a monk. But that goes beyond, you know, the general belief. And this is one of the things that I'll share with you. But let's go back to meditation. Meditation and brain training now have become a foundation for my practice, because I use it as a tool to facilitate the change process. If we want long-lasting effects, we actually have to tap into the mind's hard drive and do a full reset to avoid going back to where we started, going back to pre-learned behaviors. And I do believe that's why some treatments don't work. There are many things out there that can be extremely helpful, but in many, many people, that quick fix doesn't work. Or sometimes not even the most aggressive therapy. And why is that? Because we need to upgrade the operating system. We have to erase all things that are taking us back to the same place and start anew.
Jeez. Well, that sounds beautiful. And I definitely want to do it even for myself, to tap into my own hard drive and upgrade myself. I love this relationship to computers that are so essential in our lives. What could we do? What's the first steps that we could take towards that?
The first step is just finding a little bit of time to be on your own and listen to your own body and your own mind. Would you like to share like a little meditation?
Sure.
The two of us?
Oh, I'd love to.
Let's have fun. So you just need to be sitting in a comfortable position. And it's ideal that your feet are actually touching the ground, so you feel grounded. And if you sit back straight and just make sure that your body is relaxed. Scan your shoulders, scan your forehead, see if you're frowning, clenching your teeth, and relax. This is not weird. We're not gonna go to bed. And just close your eyes for a little bit and bring your attention to your breath. Just the only thing that I want you to do is to pay attention to the way the air feels while it's going through your nose. And feel the way it goes out of your body. And we're going to breathe through the nose for this purpose. So just take a deep, deep breath through the nose and feel the cooling air coming in and coming out. And now just feel how your abdomen, while you keep breathing, moves in and out, allowing the diaphragm to move and the breath to come and go very smoothly from your body. Now, while we're doing that, we're going to start counting, and we're going to bring the attention to the count. We're going to inhale, counting 1, 2, 3. Are you going to hold your body and hold the breath? 2, 3. Exhale. 3. Hold the air out. 3. Inhale again. 2, 3. Hold it in. 2, 3. Exhale. 2, 3. Hold it out. 2, 3. Now breathe normally. Open your eyes and tell me how you feel.
I feel dreamy. I feel light and floaty and happy.
Well, there you go. I mean, this is how, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we did even 3 minutes. It was less than 3 minutes. I mean, if you could do this, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to light incense. You don't have to get out of your office. Like, it is simple, simple, simple. You can just be sitting with your own breath. And
you can literally do it at any time of the day, right? Any circumstance, stress, you're driving in a car right now and somebody cuts you off, you don't close your eyes. But
exactly. Just go to the breath, and bring the breath in, and just, it's attention. It's about training your brain to focus in something right there, being here right now, my breath, and then the breath, that capacity of the breath, what we did was just switching your nervous system from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic, and allowing your brain to switch to that state and to be open to receiving, to be relaxed, but at the same time, attentive and happy, happy. That is a very, very important thing. You feel happy just with three breaths.
Mm-hmm. What do you tell your patients, your friends, relatives, when you ask them if they've ever meditated and you talk to them about doing that and they say, oh, I can't do that. My mind always drifts off.
Yeah. And he always does. That's what the mind does.
Right. You can't help it, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're not trying to stop thought. We're just trying to learn to focus. That's a very, very big difference. We'll go there if we want, and we'll start training thought and creating new neural pathways, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. I do have a lot of fun with my patients and my clients, but I like to call it clients because I don't feel they're patients anymore. but yeah, it's just that we're not trying to change anything too fast, too soon. We're just trying to connect to the breath. That's the only thing that we need to do right now. Just connect to your own breath.
I love it. How important do you think it is, the counting? Like, for instance, Dr. Weil taught us the 4-7-8 breath technique.
Mm-hmm.
And but you used a 3 count. And what's your opinion on that? Is that important, or is it more important that you're doing the mindfulness and the focus?
I've experienced many, many different techniques, and I'll tell you that there's so much variety out there that we just need to give a try a couple of different ones and see what resonates with us. Mm. Some people are more visual. Some people are more into, they need some kind of a structure. So for them, a guided meditation is very important. Some people, they just get annoyed by the voice, and they just need to do it themselves. With some people that never had done this breathing before, sometimes telling them to breathe until 7 is too much, and they start stressing out while they're trying to hold the breath, right? So that's why I start only with 3. I just like hold it for 3. And even sometimes when you hold it for 3, for some people that never hold their breath, it's kind of stressing. But then if you do it and you start training, it will become easier and easier, and then you can go and have fun trying different techniques.
I love it. Mm-hmm. The important part, I think, is that you just start doing it and start trying it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So many people get fed up, or they don't try it, or they think it's voodoo magic.
Yeah. Listen, if you tell me one thing that you want to tell your patients is, one thing that I like to post on my Facebook or Instagram, one day or day one, you decide.
One day or day one.
Huh. Yeah.
It just clicked and hit me what you were saying.
Right?
Right.
Simple. You can bring all the preconceived ideas that you have, all the stuff, but it's just like, it's up to you. I mean, you can keep saying one day, or day one, and then you go for it and you give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a try. If you don't like it, if it doesn't agree with you, just don't do it. But at least you try. At least you try. There's nothing, you know, no harm in trying, right?
Absolutely. Are there any guided meditations that you recommend to your patients?
Yes, I do have some free applications on my phone that I use myself and that I give my patients. One of them is called Insight Timer.
Oh, sure.
The other one is Calm. The Insight Timer I like a lot because you can choose just to the timer, you know, just to set up a timer with a time when you're going to start breathing or not. Then you can also have some guided meditations. There are some many different ones. They're like mindfulness. They're with bowls, with bells, with music is one that I love, that is with brain entrainment music, which uses theta waves, solfeggio frequencies, and all this new brainwave music that is just facilitating the brain to get into that state of openness and relaxation. And the Calm one is a little more breathing and mindfulness guided, and it's also really, really good. So any of those, if you want to start with any of those, there are many different options in there. They're free. You can download it on your phone and have fun with it.
Oh, beautiful. I love those ones. I also use the Headspace and the 10% Happier.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just came across that one and I just finished listening to the audiobook and I love it. I love it.
Oh, right. What a great story. Huh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what's one of the greatest lessons you've learned to date about mindfulness and learning about yourself, and how have you benefited?
Well, things that are not always working out for you will work out eventually, meaning time and moment where you're right now doesn't define who you are or how the rest of your life is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just allow yourself to breathe deeply into the moment and just connect to your own self, and that kind of that mindful inner voice is going to start being heard. And then that way you're going to be connecting the dots and you're going to have so many aha moments. And you're going to be just mind blown by your own wisdom, which is always there, but sometimes it's not audible because we're listening to many other things.
That's right, my friends. It's either day one or one day. So mm-hmm. now's the time to start doing it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to switch gears a little bit. The Alt Medicine MD podcast is obviously about the benefits of integrative and functional medicine. But like everything in life, it's not all rainbows and unicorns. Tell us the story of your worst moment. And you may have already alluded to that a little bit, but this show is about reality. And the fact is we're scared, confused, or maybe just a bit angry. Some of us are scared to go to doctors. Some of us are confused about the unconventional world of this type of medicine, and possibly some are upset about the care we've received.
So I told you that I took off and found my soulmate, right?
I thought you might say yeah. That was your worst moment.
Well, my soulmate got a very aggressive melanoma, skin cancer, and he died in a matter of months.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. So at that
this
moment,
is your soulmate that you met after yeah. going to France?
Yeah. Well, I actually moved to France because of him, because he was French. So we got married and I thought my life was going to be in France. So I was going to build out my life in France and I was just going to come here to visit. But no, life had another plan for me. So yeah, he died and he.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's a hard one. It's interesting. We don't see the doctor as a patient or as a relative of a patient, right? And I think most of us doctors, we've been through so many things in our own lives. And mm-hmm. it's good for patients to know that we're also, like you said, we've been afraid, we've been confused, we struggle. So at that moment when he died, we were in France, of course. So we had the opportunity to travel to Germany where there are many, many alternative clinics. But his family also wanted him to go through the chemotherapy. So he had like a comprehensive treatment, which didn't work. At that moment, I questioned everything. I questioned the conventional, the unconventional therapy. You see, when you are in the midst of those situations, you find so many things. There is confusion, who to blame. And sometimes the ground where you have built everything you have believed in just cracks wide open and you fall into the unknown territory of what do I do now? Who I am and what do I want to do with my life? So I tell people sometimes when we hit rock bottom is when we find ourselves, but we don't have to go there to question our preconceived ideas about everything. And that's one of the things that I think integrative medicine brilliantly offers. It offers the best of both worlds. You know, we can choose to go too much into one stream. We can deny ourselves something that can really, really work for us. But for that, we need to be open. We need to get into the operating system and do an upgrade. Things change. Science changes. And in order to keep up, we need to be open to create new neural pathways and allow new information in. If not, the brain will keep taking the same old route by default. That's what I did. I found myself saying, okay, I'm in France. Do I want to stay here? I started as a radiologist. Do I want to go back to radiology? I'm going to go back to the States. So when you get that opportunity to kind of like start from scratch, it's actually like very like enlightening moment. And I questioned everything. I questioned the unconventional therapy in Germany. I questioned the conventional therapy or the chemotherapy. And I came nowadays, I came to embrace both. And whatever you feel that you will believe in and it will help you I would say just go for it. Just take the opportunity to explore the many possibilities out there now that the science and medicine is expanding so much. And integrative medicine offers that beautiful combination of the best of both worlds.
Always makes my heart so strong and reaffirmed whenever I talk to another integrative physician, because you're saying exactly what I want to say. I just don't know how to put it. And to listen to somebody that's gone through such a tough time to lose somebody that they love. And I know a lot of people go through this and have been through this, but to hear people that go through it and come out reformed, maybe, dare I say, even better, more enlightened, is refreshing. So thank you for sharing your story. And I'm sorry you had to go through that, but thank God there's people like you that have learned and have improved.
Thank you. I think it makes me more human. You know, I can relate better because I understand. I've been through it. I've been sleeping in a hospital room in a little sofa next to someone that is getting chemotherapy. So it is important for us to remember that, to be open. I remember when people had no idea about the microbiome. And now I see conventional doctors, very conventional doctors, prescribing their antibiotics, you know, but they are prescribing probiotics as well.
Mm-hmm.
So medicine changes, life changes, science changes. I mean, the earth was flat. So, yeah.
Well, they always said in med school that we should all, or at least at the school I went to, they said you should all be patients to really appreciate what it's like to be on that side of the coin.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, until we experience that ourselves, don't really understand what it's like to walk 10 steps in our patient's shoes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's change a little bit. Thank you again. And tell me a little bit about what you're most fired up about today. Is it a new herb? Is it meditation technique? Something that's been helping you, your clients?
Well, my fine-tuning the brain program. Because when I talk about changing neural pathways, what happens here is that there are two systems in the brain, the fast and the slow thinking. The fast system dictates most of the first impressions and the quick perceptions in life, because the brain reacts fast to save energy and to act as quickly and as smoothly as possible, right? Uh-huh. And this is very beneficial in our everyday lives. Imagine if every single moment an activity, we will require full mental effort, like thinking about how to tie our shoes or brush our teeth or getting dressed. It would be exhausting. And this ties into a concept that is called priming. So the fast system of the brain likes to think that knows what's going on. Kind of like, oh, I know what's going on here. And the truth is that priming has been reported to actually modify behavior without you having conscious access to it. So because of upbringing, environmental, and all kinds of conditioning, your brain has been primed to certain things in automatic behaviors. And these responses have created these neural pathways, which are the neural ways that are most used and allow your brain to save time and energy. Like the neural pathway you have to tie your shoes or to take the same route to work every day. You don't have to stop now every single corner to remember where to turn, because you already have that neural pathway, right?
Right.
So have you noticed that two people that live in the same city can have very different perspectives about it? Or same thing about a movie or a book?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So the same thing happens when receiving a medical diagnosis or approaching your own health. This knowledge will help understand that you don't necessarily have to go after the first impressions. And what is important about this whole breathing and mindfulness is to be a witness of your own thoughts, as they will give you invaluable information about the most common neural pathways routes that your brain is engaging into. So this variety of impressions, upbringings, conditioning, beliefs, and primings can be shaped, actually, and can be changed, and can be upgraded. And as we understand where they're coming from, we can create unlimited possibilities and change the status quo.
Love it.
There's one thing that I love. It's a picture of a horse that is tied up to a plastic chair. Plastic chairs, you know,
yeah.
And the horse, you know, horsepower, like, come on.
Right.
And it says sometimes that thing that is holding you back is all in your head.
Right.
It's just like, oh my God, when you analyze the repetitive thoughts and behaviors, you identify powerful keys to unfold long-lasting wellness, healing, a wonderful life. You know, it's just like so amazing. I love working with the mind and the brain and all that.
Right. And taking that first step.
Yeah.
And change, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there anything ever holding you back from using alternative, integrative, holistic medicines from around the world?
In order for this to work, openness is required. If a person is not willing to give them a try, really there's no point, because that person is going to keep looking for excuses and find flaws and eventually have an awful experience. I believe that the way we approach every single thing in life makes a big difference in the outcome, is the mindset. And it's just like, I'm gonna cross the street, and if I think, oh my God, there's a truck that is coming, is gonna run me over, it's probably gonna happen if you keep thinking about it. Or if you approach something like, oh, I hate this, I don't like this. That's where we go back to the glass half full and the, you know, glass half empty and the 10% happier. It's just like focus and try to be open. So I offer the brain techniques, but they require persistence, patience, because training the brain is like training a little puppy. You know, they pee it everywhere, so you have to be patient.
Did you say they pee everywhere?
Yeah. You know, so you're not gonna hurt the puppy, but you have to be persistent. And you have to be patient. Now, going back to what I said, if we are not convinced, if we're really not believing in this, I have a lot of people that tell me, oh, I love this and it's working for me, but I have this person that I'd like to bring, but they don't want to come. Could you tell them? I said, no, don't push anyone. Don't do that, because if they really don't have that willingness, that little open space to say, what if, I wouldn't go there. You know,
mm-hmm.
This is really not trying to force people to do what they're not, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's a powerful thing. And a lot of people don't recognize it in this day and age, because we're so used to going to Western medicine doctors and just getting our pill and going home. But for integrative doctors who are working at getting to the root of the problem, we have to challenge our patients to take the initiative and do the hard work. We can give them the tools, but they're the ones that have to decide that they want to make the change, which is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
All right. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Well, besides the one day or they want to decide, the other one is telling yourself, what if, you know, what if, just being open. Like every time that I'm going to go watch a movie, I try to stay away from the reviews. I try to stay away from what other people have told me. And I try to go with an open mind. Of course, we'll have, of course, many different experiences, but having an open mind is a very, very, very useful thing.
I love it. Mm-hmm. How do we continue to spread the good word about integrative and functional medicine?
I like to follow Dr. Andrew Jawal. I love Dr. Joe Dispenza. I don't know if you heard about Joe Dispenza. I think follow different people, work with different people, do this what you're doing. Be open to hear what other people are doing, what's working for them. I get so much feedback from my mates at the fellowship with integrative medicine, even like people from med school, even my friends, like people that have no medical knowledge at all. Just be curious and be open. And when you get to, encounter a book or something or a podcast, just listen a little bit and go, what if? You know? Yeah.
I love it. Well, Maria, as we approach the end of the show, I'd love it if you'd share any additional parting pieces of wisdom. You've shared so much with us. If you don't have anything, we'll go back and look at all the beautiful things you've said, such as tapping into our hard drives and upgrading ourselves.
Thanks.
But is there anything else you'd like to offer?
Yeah, we kind of touched that a little bit before. Remember that you can always redefine yourself. The past is a lesson, but does not define who you are. Most of our cells replace themselves like almost 24 hours. So every 7-15 years, we're actually a whole new human being. You can literally become whomever you want. So never be afraid to reach for those new goals and to dream big, because you're more powerful than you allow yourself to believe to begin with, you know?
So, you can change and you can reinvent yourself as well.
Yeah, just be open and say, what if?
Yeah, I've said that recently. Both my daughters are off at college and said, this is your opportunity where, you know, you're starting new. You can reinvent yourself. You can be whoever you want. And that's exactly what we can say to our patients.
Yeah. I love it.
Is there a way our podcasters can connect with you in the future?
Yeah, I have my website, and my whole theme is called Dharma Gaia. Dharma comes from Dharma, your purpose, and Gaia, Mother Earth. So Dharma Gaia Integrative Medicine or Dharma Gaia Online Wellness. And I'm also on Instagram. And I love to hear back from people and feedback and any questions. They can definitely get in touch with me there.
Oh, beautiful. I'll put your link in the show notes to your website and anything else that you want me to share with them. I'd love to do that.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. I think this is great. Thank you for taking the time and the energy to do this. I know that this is going to be amazing. Well, it's already amazing.
Well, Maria, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you just said and for being on the show and spreading the good word about medicine and health. Please keep doing what you're doing, and I know we'll make an impact together.
Thank you.